you're very daring to come back, because I was here last year teaching. So you were really kind and daring to come to this session, or you just are really interested in what God has to teach on. So thank you for being here. Thank you for, I'm just so excited. I'm so pleased at what God's doing within our body. One woman made a kind comment, said, wow, there's a lot of young women that are willing to teach and are excited about the Word of God. That is absolutely true. We are blessed at Valley with women who love the Word of God and who desire to share that with other women. So praise God that we have this opportunity, and we welcome you here. We are so excited about this particular conference, because we all fit into that category, no matter what. We all fit into the category of women. So we all have something to hear. And I love what she was, you know, talking about when she's talking about we have a purpose. And there's different stages of our life, and we're all going to be in different stages of our life. And God has a purpose for each one of us all the way to the end, to bring Him glory. And so in 1 Timothy 5, when I was first asked to do this, I was like, whoa, that's a difficult passage at times, because with widows. But we're going to get into it and see what a heart God has. Even in the creation of woman, that we are created equally but different. And God has a purpose, and He has a role for us throughout our lives, in the good times and in the hard times. Because the fact of the matter is, being a widow is not an easy thing. And back then it was even more difficult, and we'll talk about that just a little bit. But in light of that, I pray that whether you're a widow, whether you're not a widow, that you would come out of here encouraged by God's word to be able to stand firm in your faith, to experience His joy, something I was privileged to teach on a couple of years ago, throughout your life, to experience that joy and that peace that surpasses our comprehension. That's really the case, to be able to experience His joy and feel His presence throughout your life, and then to go beyond that, not just to stay there, but to go beyond that and share that with other women and other people, especially in the body. There's widows that perhaps are believers, there's widows maybe that are not believers. We need the opportunity to minister to them all, no matter where we're at, no matter in a stage of life. So I welcome you here, and I just encourage. So let's, am I permitted to start now? Yeah. It's 10:30, so I'm going to go ahead and start, because I know me, and I always, if you know me, I keep rambling on and take too long. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful rain. Thank you for today. Thank you for the reminder that you are God, you are sovereign, you are working through our lives, and it is not by surprise that you created us as women, that each one of us was purposed by you, hand-formed by your wonderful hand, your sovereign power to create us individually, uniquely, and yet in the image of God. What a privilege that is. And I pray, Father, that as we go to study your word on this topic of widows, that we would understand the heart you have for not only widows, but for women, and how special that is, and how it encouraged me, and how it challenged me. And Father, I pray that we don't walk out of here unchanged by the fact that we all have the opportunity to love others, to encourage others, to meet the needs of others, but to see that you set in place what the body of Christ is supposed to look like, and how we are supposed to minister to each other, and to widows specifically in this topic. So I pray for our time today. I pray that you would open our hearts and give me clear thinking and concise thinking, and that we would gather your truth, and you would be glorified through this all. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, so, you maybe feel as a widow, if you are a widow, maybe you know a widow, but maybe in society you might feel a little neglected, and that's understandable. So in some ways, I mean, not that we accept it, but that's just what sometimes happens, they're kind of pushed aside, but that's not God's heart. That's not what God has. So we're going to look at it a little bit closer. This is a really a subject that touches God's heart, and I want to be able to reveal that to you. And the subject is how to treat widows. But if you look at 1 Timothy 5, we're going to look at what 1 Timothy 5 is about and what he's talking about. And Paul is the writer of that epistle, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's teaching Timothy to exhort believers concerning the care and the treatment of people within the church first at Ephesus. And Paul is, he's always concerned with false doctrine, so he's always trying to make sure that the church is protected. And if you know that about Paul, whether he's in prison or whether he's out ministering the gospel, he's constantly trying to care for the body of Christ. And that was the early church at that time. So in 1 Timothy 5, if you look at your notes, you know, it's 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, that addresses how to treat elderly women and men in the church with respect as fathers, as mothers, and to care for the younger women as brothers and sisters in Christ with all purity, it says. And I'm privileged today, if you guys saw, I don't know if you saw, but I have one of my sisters here today, and I can say that it's indeed a special relationship. A sister is a special relationship, and I don't take that for granted. That's a very special relationship, and we have that as a body of Christ. This is something that we should feel for our brothers and sisters. And I challenge you to ask yourself right now, do you feel that way about other believers? Do you feel that they're your brothers and sisters? Or is this somebody you kind of sit by on a Sunday or during growth group? Because it's unique. My sister and I are very close. My sister, I have several sisters. She just happens to be the one that's here. You guys probably thought maybe you were seeing double. She's actually a little older than me, even though I look probably older than her. But it's such a privilege, and I love my sister, and I feel so close, and I'm just encouraged that she is a believer, and that is a double blessing that I have. But as I look around this room, I see so many people, so many women who have encouraged me, who have challenged me, who have helped me grow, and have given me a boost to do what God would have me do, to be walking the walk with Christ, and have helped me. And so I count you as my sisters, and I pray that if we get nothing out of this weekend, and we get that, we're here to encourage one another, to help one another grow. So I encourage you to ask yourself where you are in that family, in the family of God, and how you feel about that. Well, we are Jesus' hands, we are his feet, and we are here to serve his people, and this gives us a special opportunity. He's given us the gifts and the tasks of others. I looked up the one scripture that you all know is in Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me." It's not in your notes. This is just something that I added. That's Matthew 25:40. So when you're serving one another, you're doing it for Christ. You're doing it for Christ. And then Paul goes on, okay, so this is something we've heard many times, but I want us to remember that, because as we get through this passage, we'll see why. Okay, so Paul goes on, and we're not going to touch on this, but later on in the scripture of 1 Timothy 5, he's talking to how to treat the church, right, people in the church. At the end, from verses 17 through 24, he discusses honoring the elders. Okay, that was a category that he thought was important. I need to talk about this. So we can see in there, it tucked in the middle, in verses 3 through verses 16, God puts widows. He puts widows. I mean, that's Paul's discussing this because all scripture is God-breathed, right? So he has that in there, and he places it, this specific group of widows, right in the middle of what do we need to care about, what is important to God. So let's get into the study and see what God has to say about the widows. Okay, so how do you treat widows in the church? Okay, and as we're talking about, he's talking to believers, he's talking about the early church, saying, you know, this is what we need to consider. So he addresses the treatment of women in several passages. This is not the only one. And although society didn't appear at that time to value women, God always. And we'll see how he esteems women, and he purposes to provide protection and care for us. And so let's consider, first of all, we talked about the older women to be treated with honor and respect, with all purity. And older women are to be treated as mothers, with respect and honor due to their age. And older women are to teach the younger women. And you're going to, if you go to another breakout session, you're going to find that. That's going to be a really good study, so I encourage you to do that in Titus 2. And the younger women be treated as sisters, right? We talked about that from 1 Timothy 4. We see that Timothy, as a godly man, was conduct towards women was pure and above reproach, and the younger woman would respect and learn from the older woman. So Paul chose Timothy for a reason, and I love it. Timothy's name means one who honors God. Well, he chose him to lead the church at that time in Ephesus, to teach him. And he's and he was known to be a man with sincere faith. And I'm always bad on my little sayings. My husband would be the first one to tell you, but I think it's the kicker, what is it called? But I don't know what it's called. Anyway, ignore it. Is that his parents, his grandparents, his grandmother and his mother are Eunice and Lois, and they're called out in 2 Timothy 1:5. Read that. And they're called women with sincere faith. These are the women that shaped and molded Timothy to be the godly man that he was. So there's a role there for women to do these things. What a tribute that God has given those women to call them out in Scripture just because of their love and their sincere faith in him. And then Timothy was able to encourage the church in that. So stop and ask yourself for a second. Can that be said of me? You know, hopefully that nothing is more important to us than passing on our faith and a love for a God that is so kind and so good. And that's what these women have done. That's what these women did for Timothy. And so as we look at the passage, we see that there's specifically Paul is addressing believers in the church. And interestingly enough, widows were included in the top of the list. So why? Why? Right? Let's talk about what a widow is defined as. And the Greek word is cherub, which means bereft, having suffered loss. It carries the idea of being left all alone. Women who have lost their husband and therefore their means of support. And they're very, very special concern of God. If we look at both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I'm going to read those to you in just a minute, it's clear that God takes an interest in the protective care of the orphans and the widows, giving a special value. He gives a special value to these women. So many passages lay down that law to protect women, and God is described as protector and their judge. Okay? So why does the Bible speak so often about widows? And as we look at the Old and New Testament, it's clear that God has that value that we talked about. And think about it for a second. God is your protector, you need not fear. I recall sharing this scripture with some of my friends. I've been privileged to have more friends than I'd like to that are widows. And I don't know why, but God put these women to encourage me in my life. And I remember sharing these scriptures with them and saying, God is there, he's your protector, and he is your God, and he will be there, he will help you, he will provide for you. Some of those women happen to be in this room today. And I remember sharing that with them and watching God do exactly that. When things look bleak, when maybe this woman had not worked for many years since before she had children, at the age of 53, getting a job and trying to provide for her kids and trying to take care of herself. But watching God do it, watching God move through her in the midst of a tragic loss of her husband. And many women have done that in this room. And I'm so encouraged because I got the privilege of standing there, maybe holding her hand or holding their hands and saying, praying for them, but watching our faithful God do exactly what he said he was going to do. And so that tender heart that he has, he never breaks his promises. He never breaks his word. And so in scripture after scripture, when he says he's going to do it, he does it. And I got the privilege of watching firsthand his work in that. And so I just can tell you that it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And it's a blessing to take your eyes perhaps off a husband that you continually relied on and put it on the God Father where it belongs. And I know that I've spoken with women maybe who didn't lose their husband, but maybe their husband's left. And God was there too. God was there for them in those painful times. And they said, I know that I put all my heart and my energy into this person when I should have put it on God. But when
able to yield myself to God. God bless me. And my relationship with the Lord grew stronger and stronger. And I've seen that. I've seen that firsthand. I've seen that people that maybe were kind of just existing and kind of like, yeah, I believe in God, grow and grow and grow and grow in their faith because God has a purpose. Now, it's not a great position to be in, to be a widow. Many of the women that I know that are widows, you know, you've lost your companion. You've lost your best friend. You've lost that Sarah's teaching on, that one that God made you perfect to fit together to be able to glorify Him. But that, I can tell you this firsthand, there is nowhere that I've been more blessed than at Valley to watch the widows at our church continue to press forward in their faith, to love God, and to use their faith and their gifts to serve God in a manner that is glorifying to Him. And thank you for that. Thank you for that ministry. Thank you for that persistence to walk in a manner worthy of our calling to the end. And that has blessed me, and that has encouraged me, and it has challenged me that God will use us no matter what stage of life we're at. So I just want to tell you that firsthand, that it has been a blessing to be a part of that. So now let's look at the Old Testament verses first, okay? In Exodus 22, verses 22 to 24, it says, "You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, then they cry out to me. I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless." You're thinking, wow, so you're making a widow. You're going to make a widow. No, but what this scripture is talking about was that they were not caring for the widows at that time. And God's saying, I'll take care of them. You're not going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of them. I will judge you, and I'm going to take care of them. Now, you know what? I don't have my notes in front of me, but Deuteronomy, it's not D-U-X, it's not duet, 10:18. I'm not sure what it says on yours, but I think the computer helped us out there trying to fix it, but it's not. It's Deuteronomy 10:18, so D-E-U-T. And he says, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. And you'll see the same passage repeated in Psalm 146:9. Let's look at Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's cause. Again, Psalm 68:5. I love this one. Father of the fatherless and protector of the widow is God in his holy habitation. God, Father of the fatherless and protector of the widow, so you need not fear. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's bounty. Over and over again. Because remember, in this culture, at this time, women were completely dependent on men. The women, not on today's society. They needed the husband to provide, or the father, or the family. And that's why women were married off at very young ages. Because they needed to have someone who would come. They didn't have the jobs that we have today, the women, and the education that women have today. So, I love the song that we sang today. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. Remember that. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. So, God's continued compassion. Oh, I did want to outline something. The justice that he's talking about here in the scriptures speaks about, that's what we're going to be talking about, the justice. These women, they had the husband to protect them, but we're going to talk about that justice and what that means specifically. It was basically the care of them. I'm going to get into a little bit deeper. Let's look at God's continued compassion as we go into the New Testament. You know, it only reinforces the command. In James 1:27, they say it more clearly. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James is saying that. If you look at the book of James, it's exhort after exhort after exhort, one after another. And then here's an astonishing story, I thought, in Luke 7, 11 through 15. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples, we're talking about Jesus here, his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died and been carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched her, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Wow. Here you see Jesus caring so deeply for a widow that he raised the son who was, she was not, that was, the son was going to be her protector, her helper. God raised him from the dead to help her. So you think, wow, how precious that God chose to do that for her. But probably the one and the most convincing and the most touching examples of the care for the widows is in with Jesus himself at the cross in John 19. As Jesus hung on the cross near death, there at the foot of the cross was his mother. So in John 19, verses 25 through 28, I won't read you the whole story, but it says, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from there, that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing it is now finished. Oh, did I skip my pages? Knowing it is now finished. I didn't finish it all. Nearly his last words, and Jesus chose to care for his mother, his widowed mother specifically. He drew attention to John, not to himself. He wasn't saying, "Look at me, I'm dying for you." And he cared for his mother, Mary. He cared for his own mother. MacArthur said it best. Why did Jesus want to care for her? Joseph had already died, so she had no husband. And now she was losing her son. Not only her son, the son of her virgin birth, the Messiah. Apparently, Jesus didn't want to be left, her to be left alone with the care of her unbelieving brothers. His brothers had not become believers yet. And out of deep love, he responded to her attention, and she would receive the proper care. At the cross, at the death, he's thinking about his widowed mother. And this tells us something important about caring for widows. As Jesus hung on the cross, he spoke to two individuals. He spoke to the wretched criminal, whom he forgave, and the other one was his widowed mother. Nothing reveals God's heart better than his son, who was dying on the cross to be the savior of the world, to take all our sins upon himself. With eternity past and future gathering to such a great redemptive climax, these two things preoccupied his mind. And the salvation of a sinner and the care of a widow. Jesus said woman and not mother, probably because he didn't want to make the womb of her heart feel so much more pain. Now he was to be seen as her son and her savior, although no work has ever been more strenuous and more inconceivable than what Jesus did at the cross. But his heart and his savior never put aside for caring for a widow. So keep that in mind. Repeatedly we see that love of our Savior for women in a culture which didn't really seem to esteem women highly. We are blessed to live in a society which advocates for women, maybe too much at this time in our lives, but try to imagine the position you would have been in. You know, your means of support, purpose were taken from you without the Lord. It'd be pretty bleak, right? You'd be pretty desperate. Because you were kind of shoved aside, right? But that's not what God designed. That's not what God designed in the church, and you'll see that. So let's consider our main text, and let's read that. You have it in your notes. If you want to bring it up on your Bible, it's 1 Timothy 5, it's verses 3 through 16. honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness in their own household and to make some return for their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them, that the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. So maybe you never really read that passage closely, and you kind of have mixed feelings about it. But like I said, all scriptures God breathed. And we're going to look at this a little closely and kind of define some of those terms. But again, it's significant that Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, and there was some things going on there in the local church. And he was trying to give Timothy some practical advice, telling us that a church should be wise for the care of widows within the body of Christ. Now the reality is, the church is there to treat, to care for everyone, to care for the whole body, right? But there's some that we know by experience that have more needs. And specifically, this is called out for widows. But there are roles, and we're gonna get into those roles. And there was problems, and you're saying, gosh, well, what? They have to have this, they have to this. So let's bear with me, and we're gonna go through it first. So it says, how to honor widows. How do you honor? It talks about there, the first word in verse 3 is honor widows, who are truly widows. So the word honor refers to respect, but support, or given material assistance. We're talking about material assistance, which is basically defined as meeting their essential needs. Food, clothing, shelter, and that's what that word honor here means. In Matthew 15:4, God says, for God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. One commentator delineated that honor here was a comprehensive command. That means, like, you're not talking about just the honor and respect part. That means the moral obligation to care for them. It means to be for the children and the grandchildren, to esteem them highly, to respectful language and gestures toward them, but more importantly, to give cheerful obedience and to honor them by feeding, clothing, and supplying them with the necessary needs, which is only reasonable, it says in these verses, right? It says it's only reasonable, God says, to do this. The parents, the mother has cared. We talked about the roles of the husband and the wife. Generally in a home, not always, but generally in a home, the woman does a lot of the nurturing of the children, a lot of the nurturing and the care of the child. Why would the child not want to come back to care for the widow, the mother? I mean, we right now are trying to care for Lance's dad, who is a widower. And my dad was a widower because my mom passed away before my dad passed away. And certainly we care for my dad. Certainly we care for Lance's dad. We are there for him. We're trying to care for him. But the widow at this time, remember especially, did not have anyone to care for him. The children weren't going to step up. The family members weren't going to step up. So it's important to do that, to only honor them for the life that they've given to you, for that you've devoted into their lives and the life that you've given them by just birthing them, right? So out of gratitude for all the care and expense and trouble, this is what Scripture talks about, to do that. And the Jews would not deny this. They would say that the duty of children to their parents, if asked to say, what is this honor? To which you'd reply, he must give food, drink, clothing, buckle his shoes, and lead him and bring him in and out. That was their culture. That was taught even by the Jewish culture. So a similar use of this word is in the next verse. It's used in Acts 28:10. They also honored, and this is Paul talking, they also honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. That same word honored there is talking about meeting their needs financially, supplying what they need. That's the same word there. As Paul's getting ready to go and preach the gospel in different places, that's that same word that we're looking at there. So it's provision of needs, basically. Paul addressed the concern for the needs in the early church when he's amongst the most destitute, the widows. So in Acts 16:1, it says, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose and the Hebrews because the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So a Hellenist is basically just a Greek believer, a Greek Jew. Remember, Paul was ministering to the Gentiles, the Greeks. And then we have Jews. So you have Jews and you have the Greeks. And a believing Jew is basically the Greek. But they're Greek. Okay? So just so you know, that's what. But when the early church was formed, there was conflict. You know, you're bringing these Gentiles in. So it was a cultural change for them. They had to get used to having the Gentiles fellowship with them together, because there was Jews and there's Gentiles, and God came for us all. He died for us all. It's clear throughout the New Testament. You know, we studied it when we studied Romans. He died for all of us. And the Jew and the Gentile could become one, could become united in Christ. That's what Christ did for us. That's why we're allotted into that category. So there was a struggle. There was a struggle to care for these Greek Jews, women, especially the women, if they were destitute. They weren't, you know, who are they? Why would I care for these people? And he's telling them, yes, you need to care for them. These are believers. These are women that need our help. So let's, Paul talks about honoring women who are truly widows. It seems really obvious. Well, a widow is somebody who's lost her husband. Isn't that what truly a widow is? But if you look at the 1 Timothy 5, there's some more specific characteristics that God's calling out here. And it's those who are generally in need in biblical times, who are virtually completely dependent on their husband or their nearest relative and didn't have financial independence. And there was no government assistance or set in place to help them. In that day, they were so vulnerable. So the scripture that we're talking about, there's four types. Okay, so there's four types of widows that Paul delineates here. The first one is the truly widows, or the widows indeed, or NIV calls it, really in need. There were those that did not have family members to care for them. Basically, without the means of the support of their husbands, grown children, or grandchildren, without the means to adequately support themselves, as defined in 1 Timothy 5:3-5 and 9-10. So if we look at that, it says, okay, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first show the godliness to their own household to make the return for their parents. 5, she was truly woolly, a widow. We'll get into those descriptions in just a second. And 9 and 10, let her be enrolled. Okay, that word enrolled, all right, just so you understand what that word enrolled means, it's like it's the church, meaning the church, you're in the body, you're in the church. Put them on the bankroll, basically. Put them on the care for the church. Now, it is interesting because some people have this conception that the church grows money trees in their backyard. Someone said that to me, but who's going to tell you that? We don't. The church doesn't. We don't. Where does the church get its money? From giving, from us, right? From even those that are teaching at the pulpit. Everyone who meets the needs of others is by giving. So the church doesn't have money on its own. There's no trees. believe it or not, in the back of our church that grow money. So it's impossible to meet every need of every person, of, you know, of even the community will come to the doors and say, I need help. And you want to help everybody. That is the goal. The goal is to help. But the ability comes from us. So our giving, so you know, meets the needs of the body. Just so people understand that that's really that they're talking about. This is financial assistance, and it only can come from us. So it's going to come from God, because God gives us the money to give back to him. It's really God's money, and that's really what it comes down to. It's all God's anyway. So, all right. Four types, truly a widow. And we talked about that first part. And so, okay, so it says, those that don't have those support. But listen to the characteristics that are defined out. So it says, a godly woman of 60 plus years who has been left alone in verses 5 and 9. Now, if you're saying, wow, well, I'm 59. What about me, you know? 59 and 3 quarters! No, you know. At that time, 60 was just an age that they considered the woman to be elderly, older. So I'm reaching that pretty quick. You know, but it's not a magical number. It's not. I mean, that was written back then. So they had to come up with some with the time at that age. So they came up with a woman that was not driven by her sexual desires, and they were mature in their spirits and in their spirit. The key idea is that they would be very unlikely to remarry. That doesn't mean women. If you're over 60, 70, 80, I don't even care what age, you can remarry. If God blesses you that way, remarry if you choose to stay single. Praise God for that too. But what I'd like to consider is the example of Ruth. And I'm not going to go into Ruth because Sharon's doing it here at the second session. Praise God. If you want to come to that, that should be a fabulous. I love the story of Ruth. It blesses my heart every time I hear it. Now here you have two widows, right? And one elderly, one little younger. God used them both to encourage each other, to build faith, to build financial support, to show the example of a redeemer, and that he used Boaz to be the redeemer for Ruth, and bless Naomi to be taken care of at the same time. How precious is that? I don't want to go into any deeper there because I know that Sharon's going to do a fabulous job, but what a great example. And that is such a great example. But it was Ruth who went out to do the work. She was younger. She lost her husband, and she went out and she did the work, even back then, and God blessed her for that. Okay, so B, she set her hope on God, because the reality is, you could feel pretty hopeless. Oh my goodness, I've been working in the home all these years. I've been taking care of my husband and my children. I don't have any money. What am I going to, you could feel hopeless, but God says, Don't hope in those things. Hope in me. So no matter whether we're a widow or we're not a widow, our hope needs to be set not on our husbands, not on our bank accounts, not on our job, not even on our children, but on God. Put that hope on God. She really walks and she talks with a living God daily, with a heart of hope, trust, and love. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. She's committed to abiding in God. And I got the pleasure of teaching last year in John 15, abiding in God, staying close to him and watching God build fruit in our lives. It's not us who builds the fruit, it's God who builds the fruit, who produces the fruit, I should say. But it's us staying close to him, so that's the woman they're talking about here. Okay, so it's getting a little, okay, continues to be a prayer warrior. This is something everyone can do at every stage of their life. As she communes with God in worship, thanks, and praise, not just petitions, not just, Lord, give me, give me, give me, I'm so needy. No, but she's considering the needs of others. And although she may have needs, she considers others above herself, as described in Philippians 2. Like Christ, have a heart that counts others as more important than herself. No matter what stage we're at, no matter where we're, whatever we've lost, whether we've lost children, lost our husband, but we've lost our physical health, we still have the ability to pray and encourage others in that. And a great example I wanted to share with you was that in Anna, the old woman who held Jesus as a baby in the temple. And this 2. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and having been married to her husband for 7 years until his death, she had lived as a widow since then for 84 years, and she never left the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. At that moment, she came up to them and began to give thanks to God and to speak about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Wow. Wow. She could have been whining. She could have been complaining. She could have been, woe is me. But that's not what she did. That's not what she did. If you look at those words, she's giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. Worshiping him. What a tremendous example. Okay, in letter D, it's the wife of one husband. I don't think I need to elaborate that. Most of us are not polygamists. Hopefully none of us are not polygamists. Wife of one husband. All right, so you're saying, well, wait a minute. What if I was a widow, and then I got married, and then he died, and then he died? I'm just kidding. But, legitimate husband, okay? Legitimate husband within the faith. Exemplifies a reputation of devoting herself to good works. There we go, verse 10. Okay, so let's consider Dorcas, who lived and cared for many widows in Acts 9. All right, so I'm going to attempt to do this without my glasses to read, unless somebody wants to do it for me. Karen, read it for me. Karen, can you read Acts 9:36-42? Oh, you don't even have it, do you? Here, I have it for you. Read it. She has her glasses on. I can do that. She's a friend of mine. Acts 9, 36 through 42.
Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room.
Did you go to 42?
No, okay. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, do not delay in coming to us. So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord.
Thank you so much, Karen. Give her a hand.
Yay.
Thank you. All right, so what an example, okay? This woman served the widows, and the widows, when she died, they came back. To care for her. I love that story. She loved the widows, she cared for them, and they came back. I just love it. I'm running short on time, so I'm gonna have to push through. Okay, so if you're blessed with children, that you raise them in your faith. I don't need to say anything more to that. You know, in that time, if you didn't have children in the Roman culture, you could care for the unwanted orphans, and those who were left to die. That's just a great blessing. We do that in our foster care, in our adoption and foster care. So we have the blessing of doing that. So you have the opportunity to do that. Okay. So they serve the body of Christ with humility. Okay. So again, look at the challenge of the widow in Luke 21. Jesus witnessed the poor widow who put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave out of the gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty and put in all she had to live on, which was this woman's 2 mice. But Jesus says that she had given more than anyone else that day. This was a tremendous sacrifice. The rich had not begun to give to the level of her sacrifice, and God commends us giving to that in that faith. She was a woman in need, she was a widow, and yet she gave. So it's across the board that we all, you know, God takes care of the widow and the widow takes care of the widow as well. God, he has the, you know, a heart to love all of us. So even the widows can give their best to God. So shown hospitality, a Christian woman has chosen to care for elderly by visiting the sick or the afflicted and the prisoners. Perhaps she's helped young women in raising of their children or cared for strangers, providing them a home. And the women know a very important role in that ministry. So the scripture says in 1 Peter 4:8-11, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to receive to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. That's 1 Peter 4:8-11. All have the opportunity to serve. The next one, the next type of widow is widows with grandchildren and children, okay? So you have to be in that category. Okay, the third category, younger women or widows who could remarry. These verses are not easy to interpret, especially in the culture and that time. It was imperative for women to remarry, if possible, for survival. And then again, consider Ruth. And we'll today it's different. I mean, we have the opportunity to go to work as women in this culture and in this society. Back then, it was not, that's not very different, but that's for the young women. And the last category is the sad one, no matter what age. This is the sad one, because widows who live for pleasure rather than for the Lord. And there was a problem in the church. Remember, this was a problem in the church. Paul states plainly that if they are living for pleasure, then the church has no responsibility for them. They may come to the services, they may, you know, be a professed believer, but if they're not living for the Lord, the church has no responsibility for these women. In other words, they go out and live for their own ease and wants and their own satisfaction and their own indulgence. They may be alive physically, but spiritually dead. Women who perhaps have no family and have to support themselves, but don't trust or hope in God for their guidance. They don't depend on God and have no heart or devotion or love for him, nor desire to obey him. They live for pleasure, which is the Greek term, which means live sensually or to plunge into dissipation. It means to lead a life of wanton pleasure. And that word wanton means really no disregard for what is right. That's what it means, to have disregard. To lead a life of pleasure and thought for what is wrong or right. And you see that happening in society, so I don't need to really kind of go there. But it's likely that the women in this context existed prior with their husband and actually were serving in the church. But when their husband died, they denied their faith. That's really what's happening here. So it's like that talks about the soil, right? The rocky soil where the plant grows, and then a little while it dies because it was choked the love of lustful desires and pleasure. So for that woman, the church needs to provide nothing. And she needs to turn her over to the consequences of her own choices. So just so you know, the clarification is not to set up some standard where we say, okay, well, now that you're a widow, if you get your spiritual act together, then we're going to provide for you. That's not the idea that we're trying to set here. The idea all along is to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God all the way through. And the church becomes the channel to support that, the woman that does that, that honors the women who are faithful to God. So how do you help and care for old women? I'm going to go through this quickly. The first line is able children or family members must provide. If you have children, grandchildren, family members, they must assist. And it talks about this is pleasing to the Lord, and it should be their happy privilege to do that. And it talks about if you don't, you're treated as an unbeliever. So all of us are children. All of us come from some mother, some of us. Some maybe still exist alive, or some maybe gone, but we're all children to somebody. So take that to heart. Care for your parents, care for your mother, your grandparents. Reach out to the widows. Paul gives us, let's just put commands in this passage. This is the first line. The children and extended family must do that. That's why Boaz kicked in. Okay, the church must provide. Okay, so the second in line would be the church. The church provides. And that's after determining that no family members will help out. The church must be providing for them. And that being said, you know, this is not a well-discussed topic. Maybe you've been, you never even thought about, I have a friend that has, you know, that's lost somebody, a loved one. The church has to kick in. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared and helping out. So religion that is pure and undefiled before God is that. This is the widows and the orphan and their affliction. And that's really what God says. That as a church, we should be happy to come alongside and help the widows that are in need. We need to. And God shows his compassion for women and the widows, and we need to support that. And remember, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should all be wanting to do that. We all have something to give, and we don't want to miss that blessing of giving to others. So that leads to our third person that is able to help, and that's us, individual care for one another. Maybe it's not your mother. Maybe it's not your grandmother. And maybe it's a brother, a sister in Christ, or maybe a neighbor that you can help, that you can give, and you can, it's not just, it is financial, but more importantly, it's encouragement with words. Could you give time to call? Could you give time to spend a lunch? Could you give time to spend an afternoon, go to a movie? Have them over to your house? Invite them to your Bible study? Ask them how they're doing. And I'm not just speaking to the women who are not widows here. I'm speaking to all of us. As widows, you know how it feels. Reach out to another widow. Reach out. You're home alone at night. Perhaps, okay, we'll call another widow. Okay, you want to come to dinner? It doesn't have to just be those that are not widowed. It can be all of us. It's all our roles as individuals to love one another to Christ, to encourage one another to keep pressing on in this really difficult time. And it says that believers are to be zealous for good deeds in Titus 2:14. We don't live to serve ourselves, whether we're 21, 65, or 85. We are supposed to lay our lives down for Christ for the sake of others, and that's why I encourage you. To help younger widows, I have that in there as well. Same rules apply, but I encourage you to encourage the younger widows. If God wants you to marry, he will bring somebody to you. He will bring somebody to you. Your love, your heart needs to be first to God. Keep pursuing him. Keep serving the body. Keep pressing on. If you need to get a job, get a job. If you need to help, feel free to ask the church to help. But first, please, pursue what God wants you to do. You are able in this society to get a job. Anybody can get a job. I mean, I know you think that's not true, but I see signs all the time. Hiring here, hiring there. But the thing of it is that you need to be helping your family by providing for your family. You need to maintain godliness, because I've known widows who got so distracted looking for a husband that they forgot their children, they forgot their husbands, I mean, not their Lord, they forgot everything. And that's my goal, I gotta get a husband, because I just have a husband. No, trust God to provide for you. Seek to live a life that is honoring to God. He's our first goal. He's our first love. Let him be your first love. And this scripture that you said that I have on the board, I have a bookmark for you. I have a whole thing. It's taken from Psalm 73. It says, "Who have I in heaven but you? And the earth has nothing I desire but you, besides you." Live in that. Whether we're married or not, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know if we're going to be widowed tomorrow. If you're married now, we don't know if we're going to be widowed tomorrow. We don't know where God has us. But I do know this. God is your provider. God is your protector. And God will be there for you. We need to just honor him with whatever gift you've given us to serve. I encourage you to serve, because if you serve, you take your eyes off yourself and you put them on others and on God where they need to be. So whether you're young, whether you're old, I encourage you to just stay in that. And I'm thankful that you guys showed up. I know that you're being encouraged by the rest of the study. I've probably gone over how much, should I?
Doesn't matter. You're doing great. Praise God and amen. Everything you just said.
Let's pray. I'm going to hand you guys out I have a discussion question here that I wanted to get to. We didn't get to, but can you kind of look at this, consider this for yourself? It's in your binder. And seriously, answer this.
you to encourage one. And I encourage you widows in our church to do the same. We are blessed. We are blessed. I think I lost count at like 19. So there's probably more that I don't know. But I encourage you to seek them out. I encourage you to, if you're a widow, don't look at yourself. Look at others. Serve others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is. You are such a kind God. There is no other word to say that you are our protector. You are a sovereign God who placed us here for your good purpose and your good will. I pray, Father, that we take our roles as women seriously, that we can encourage one another, that we can spur one another to love and good deeds, that our heart and our mind and our soul would be that we love you with everything within us, Father, that we would do these things, not because we want to gain crowns in heaven, but because you are God who deserves our love. Help us to love others the way that you do. I thank you for these women that are here and those that can be here. I thank you for everyone at the conference. I pray that you bless us and that ultimately, Father, that we would not come out of here unchanged, that we would be a woman spurred on with a rejuvenated zeal for you and to purpose to meet the needs of others. I thank you for the widows in this body and the widows throughout the body of Christ, and I pray that you would continue to protect them, continue to bless them, continue to have them feel your comfort and your strength, and that you would use us as your hands and your feet and your arms to just love them. And I just am encouraged by what you're doing.